Psalm 98, these are the words of God. A psalm. O sing to Yahweh a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him the victory. Yahweh has made known his salvation. His righteousness he has revealed in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his mercy and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout joyfully to Yahweh, all the earth. Break forth in song. Rejoice and sing praises. Sing to Yahweh with the harp and the sound of a psalm, with trumpets and the sound of a horn. Shout joyfully before Yahweh the King. Let the sea roar and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before Yahweh, for he is coming to judge the earth. With righteousness he shall judge the world and the peoples with equity. So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. Well, one of the blessings that we get in this quote-unquote week off for me is that all of the ordinary series are interrupted, and in order then that we would be clear in the public worship on the coming Lord's Day, that we are singing songs that the Lord has put into our mouths. We're going to have an exclusive psalmody Lord's Day. So we're having Psalm 98 at the beginning, and not knowing exactly where Pastor Brown is going in the preparation of the sermon, although you certainly could preach the themes of it from Matthew 17, 1 through 20, we're having Psalm 23b after the sermon, not a little bit, because it is one of Sophia's and Zach and Gracie Rentschler's favorite songs, and it's good for the whole congregation to be able to sing heartily, even and especially sometimes those who are not yet reading well. But the song that we're having at the beginning is Psalm 98. You notice it starts out, a psalm. O sing to Yahweh a new song. Now there are some fools, maybe I shouldn't be so free with my language, because fool has a biblical sense, one who doesn't believe in God. There are some who make the silly argument, let's put it that way, that this means that we're always required to sing some different content before God, which would be quite silly, first of all, because here is a song that is being written for the church to sing, and I'm assuming he meant for it to be sung more than once. So once it had ceased to be a brand new song, it was not thereby disqualified from being sung. The psalm itself gives us what it means to sing a new song, and that is to sing it freshly and newly every time we do, especially with respect to our interaction with the Lord in the moment in which we sing it, so that we don't sing it merely as something that belongs to the tradition of the past, but that we always sing from God's word what he has put in our mouths in the context of how God is interacting with us now. And how do we get that from this psalm? Well, we get that from this psalm because a number of the things that he gives them to sing about in Psalm 98 are things that aren't going to happen until Jesus comes. One half of the psalm, just about, or maybe a third of the psalm at the end, isn't even going to occur until Jesus comes again. And so part of this psalm is something that we are looking forward to being fulfilled even in the future. And surely you would sing the psalm in one way, looking forward to Christ's coming, and in a completely different way in that New Testament apostolic church as they realize who Jesus is and that it's God the Son who has come and announced his salvation, and now it's actually going out to the nations Verse 2, his righteousness he has revealed in the sight of the nations. He remembered his chesed and emet, his covenant love and covenant faithfulness, his truthfulness to the house of Israel. But the promises that God has been making to Israel throughout the Old Testament are promises for a salvation that is for all of the nations. God has chosen and is redeeming and has the Lord Jesus has died for his chosen ones from all of the nations. And so verse 2 and verse 3 have in mind the season not only of Christ's death and resurrection, but as the good news of Christ's death and resurrection going out. God is praised not only for Jesus's accomplishing our redemption in his life, but for how that word and that salvation goes out to all the earth as he gathers in the elect by the preaching of the gospel. So this is a mission psalm, as God is praised for making his salvation known, not just accomplishing his salvation, but making it known. And we find out that it's not just all of the peoples who are praising him as the gospel goes out and goes out and goes out. But as we know, for instance, from Psalm 8, the missionary enterprise has an endpoint. And once all the elect are converted, then shall come the end when the children of God are revealed in the redemption of their bodies at the resurrection. And the creation is groaning and longing for that day to come. The day that the souls under the altar, for instance, in Revelation chapter 6 and the fifth seal, they're crying out, "How long, O Lord?" And he says, "Until the number is complete." Well, once God has brought all of those for whom the Lord Jesus has died to faith, then the end will come, and Jesus will return, and he will judge the earth with equity. And finally, everything will be perfectly punished that has been done against him and against his people. And the creation that is groaning towards that day, there will be a new creation in a new heavens and a new earth. And this idea that the point of creation has always been to look forward to redemption, even before the fall, there are aspects of Eden that look forward to the glory of the garden at the end of Revelation. Even though Eden was very good, it was very good in a way that it could that until the fall and redemption and the coming of Christ and the second coming of Christ, it could only be very good in a particular way. But when heaven and earth, as it were, are married in the incarnation and redemption and resurrection, the glorification and the return of Christ and the glorification of all those who are Christ's, there are things that Eden just could not have. Yes, it was very good. It didn't have blemishes, but it was looking forward to something. Just like Adam, made in the image of God, with knowledge and righteousness and holiness, and yet he fell in order that we might be redeemed by Christ, so that we could be united to God the Son, and we could be conformed to his image, and we could be adopted as the children of God the Father, and we could be indwelt by the third person of the Holy Spirit, who is for us not just God the Holy Spirit, but as Scripture describes him, the Spirit of the Son. There are things that we get in God's plan to redeem us through Jesus that are infinitely better than Adam had in the garden and lost. And so there is this picture in this psalm of the creation itself, the new creation, not just new heavens, but new earth, looking forward to and rejoicing. No longer is it bound to corruption and decay the way that God had bound it in hope, looking forward to the last day, according to Romans chapter 8. But it too rejoices in its participation in the glorious freedom of the children of God at the resurrection. And that's why you have, "Let the sea roar and all its fullness, the world and all who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before Yahweh." There is a participation in which the creation itself is looking forward to the redemption and the fulfillment. And so, clapping shenanigans aside, what we are really doing as we sing that part of the psalm is rejoicing in the knowledge that one day that the creation that is currently groaning and it's bound to chaos and is suffering the misery of being cursed for the sake of Adam's sin, one day it will enjoy the liberty that Jesus has won for us. When we are perfected in holiness, when our bodies have been glorified, when all of the misery, you come, this late in the day, and just about every day we feel like, oh, I've messed up so much, or I've wasted so much, or things went poorly, and not just differently in God's good providence to me, but in ways that I have to repent of and look to Him for grace. Yeah, there is coming a day when we'll never have another day like that again. And the creation itself also will no longer be broken and corrupted and cursed. So we will sing this song now after we pray in a way that looks forward to that prospect. But the way we'll sing it on the day that it comes will be different. And we'll keep singing it newly every time when the scripture tells us, sing to Yahweh a new song. It reminds us that He's always working in our lives, and there's always progress in that work. And you are not to worship Him as a dead recital of things that have been written for you to read and pray and hear and sing a long time ago, but always worship Him as an interaction with Him in terms of what He is doing in your life right now, and who He has made Himself to be to you, and whom He has made you to be to Himself. Interact with your God when we worship and when we sing in a moment. Let's pray. We thank You and praise You, Lord Jesus, that You have come and You have kept steadfast love and faithfulness unto Israel. You lived a perfect life in our place and died the atoning death that we needed. You rose again with power, and You have ascended, and You reign. And we thank You that You have sent forth Your Spirit, and that He is causing Your word to go forth, Your gospel to go forth, and attending it with power, and gathering in the redeemed from all the nations, that You have published Your salvation to the ends of the earth. We thank You for the knowledge that that of which we read and pray and sing in this psalm is something that we shall see with our eyes even after our flesh has decayed, because You will raise us again from the dead with bodies made like Jesus' glorified body. And so we pray that You would help us to sing this psalm for the rest of our earthly lives in this hope, knowing that for us, You are always doing the work of growing us in Christ and conforming us to His image, and that for Your people as a whole and for the world as a whole, You are always doing the work of sending forth the gospel. Oh, grant that it would go forth. Gather in Your people. Extend Your kingdom. And until the day when all the kingdoms of the earth have become the kingdom of our Lord and God, the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask these things in His name. Amen.